You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Richard Justice and Allison Footer.
This is MLB.com, the Extras, Houston Astros. Allison, you and I live in Houston. We know a lot about the Astros. And it seems like there's a lot of newsy week. One of their top prospects, Fultonevich, is in the big leagues. Mark Appel has been moved to AA. They made another big trade. And George Springer is about to come back to the big leagues. Big picture, what's your look at the Astros? Still headed in the right direction?
It just depends on which couple of weeks you ask me this question, because I change my mind all the time. I mean, I think that the Astros have always been moving in a positive direction, or in an optimistic direction, I guess. I mean, you know that I still have my reservations on really buying into this whole thing. I'm going to need to see a little bit more. But certainly things tend to come together for them, and then they'll be, you know, they've had pretty nice stretches in the past. It's just that the bad stretches are, like, abysmally bad, where, you know, they're not in games, their bullpen's blowing it every night. But, you know, George Springer, having been out of the lineup for as long as he has, I mean, that was a big loss. I mean, that's no small thing. He's about to, you know, shatter the Astros' rookie record for home runs. So if they were playing at full strength, I would actually give them a pretty good shot to finish the season strong, but I still think it's going to be difficult for them to avoid losing 100 games.
You know, glass half full. I think they can flirt with 500 next year, because I look at Feldman, Keuchel, McHugh, Oberholzer have been competitive, if not good. Fultonevich will be in the rotation next year. I'm just saying optimistic. Take the optimistic viewpoint. Appel, Carlos Correa could be in the big leagues next year. I mean, I think there's a lot to like, and, you know, obviously Springer is a dynamic player, so it's an interesting time to be a baseball fan in Houston.
Okay, let's bring Brian McTaggart into the conversation. Brian covers the Astros for MLB.com, so he's up on all of the happenings for the Houston Astros. Tag, let's first start with the trade deadline. I don't know that anybody was really expecting the Astros to be players in that, seeing that they are not contending and they're trying to stockpile as many, you know, as much talent in the system for the future. So it didn't seem like they had a lot to give up. And then all of a sudden they come up with this big kind of six-player trade, I think it was, with the Marlins, and they fell off one of their, you know, top, I guess, prize pitching guys for the future in Jared Cosart. So when you heard about that, what did you think?
Yeah, I was a little surprised in a way, because, you know, like you said, Cosart's a young guy who doesn't make, you know, relatively much money. He's already got 9 wins under club control, all those things. But based on what Luno had said a few days before the trade deadline, and that they were looking at trade starting pitching, and pretty much anybody was going to be available. It wouldn't, at that point, it seemed like they were prepared to deal anybody. Obviously, I didn't think Scott Feldman would go because of his contract and what he meant to the team, I think, being the veteran leader. And ultimately, after the trade deadline was over, we learned that they were not going to trade Keuchel either, just because they felt he had kind of emerged as their ace. So, yeah, it was a little bit surprising, because these aren't the kind of trades the Astros make. I mean, the trades they've made at the trade deadline the last few years, as you know, have been trading away veterans for young players, and this was kind of trading a young player for a few more young players. So, you know, I think the thing with Cosart is, you know, I don't think they were wild about him, even though his numbers were pretty good. He did have some control problems for a guy who had a big-time fastball, didn't strike out a lot of guys. You know, if you look at Colin McHugh, a guy who throws in the low 90s, 91, 92, has a very high strikeout rate, a lot of swings and misses, and Cosart, he throws 96, 97, does not. So, I think they were a little worried about him maybe trying to, as his career would go along and just relying too much on that fastball, that even maybe he would be moved to reliever at some point. I mean, they like pitchers who are able to, you know, throw 3 pitches and trust that stuff. And I think Cosart became a little too reliant on his fastball. And the numbers were there, 9 wins. The ERA was pretty good. But at the end of the day, they felt they had enough deep starting pitching. They could bring Peacock back in the rotation, and that they could spin off Cosart and get some offense.
I have to say that I get the logic, and I mean, I understand they needed to bring some offense in, and certainly they got some pretty good prospects in the deal, including the Marlins' number one pick from last year, who the Astros were considering taking as the overall number one until they took Mark Appel. So I get all of that. The issue that I kind of take with this whole thing is by them saying that they have this great pitching depth from which to draw, that they have, you know, a supplement, which I think that we can acknowledge, I mean, from what we've learned over time in covering this game, that that is not remotely true. I mean, you know, I go back to kind of, you know, Phil Garner. I mean, we used to discuss, you know, baseball with him so much, and he was just, you know, this great baseball mind. And he said that he learned everything from Chuck Tanner. And when he started managing, he said, Chuck said that what you do is you go and get pitching. You get more pitching. And when you think you have enough pitching, you go out and get some more pitching.
Right.
And so, you know, having like a Brad Peacock that has had major league experience waiting in the minor leagues to come up, to me, does not scream pitching depth. And I know they have some young guys that are coming up, and they've had some good drafts, and they've developed some pitching. But for them to say, you know, Cozar was expendable because we just have, you know, all these replacements for him, I mean, I don't know. I found that a little hard to swallow.
Yeah, I get what you mean. And replacing Peacock with Cozar, you know, weakens your rotation. I mean, for all the flaws Cozar has, you know, he's a better pitcher than Brad Peacock, who came up in his first time back in rotation, and Philadelphia struggled yet again. So, but, you know, I think at the end of the day, if you look, you know, the big-time strength in the Astros organization in the minor leagues is pitching, right-handed pitching. They do have a lot of depth now. A lot of the guys they're really excited about are not ready to come up to the major leagues yet. The guys like McCullers and Brady Rogers and Josh Hader and those kind of guys. I mean, they're all. I know fans get tired of hearing about the guys who aren't here because. Colton Evans was a guy who wasn't here, and now he's here, but he's pitching in the bullpen, but that's just because he needs to work on his fastball before they can feel good about him being a starter. But one of the Astros, you know, offensively, if you look at Triple-A and Double-A, since they brought up Singleton and Springer and now Santana's here, there's just nobody there that really just excites you a whole lot. Preston Tucker does some things, and you know, I think it was clear they had a big hole at third base in the upper levels of the minor leagues after Dominguez, and you know, Dominguez doesn't appear like he's going to be the answer, really. He's not had a good year, I don't think. I mean, he's had an okay year. So getting Colin Moran now can maybe push him a little bit. And, of course, they get the draft pick, too, and they love those draft picks. But I get what you're saying. It's not like they're the A's and, you know, they can spin and you know, bring in a Smarja and send a solid starting pitcher to the minor leagues. But I guess what they're saying is they – do have another guy they can bring up and feel comfortable with, but you know the rotation does take a hit. But you know, I think more than anything, maybe they realize they're not as close to ending next. You know, I think maybe next year they thought was the year they flirt with 500 a little bit. And now making this trade, maybe you're kicking the can down the road a little bit more. Like, hey, well, we're not. You know, next year we're not going to be maybe where we thought we're going to be. So you know, let's make another trade and get some guys who are a year or two away and get another draft pick, and maybe that can help us in the long run.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering what you thought about that. I mean, the fans took the Cozar trade as we're delaying the time that the Astros think that they're going to be contenders. I mean, is that kind of how you took it? I mean, I looked at the players they got, and I mean, they definitely. The other question I have, which we'll get to in a second, is was this trade? Do you think it was all necessitated by what they lost by what they didn't sign in this year's draft? I mean, I think they definitely filled some holes position player wise that they had. In the minor leagues. I mean, it's not a coincidence that these are the players that they got in this trade. But, you know, to the fan base, they're just saying, okay, maybe not 2015 or 16, maybe 2018 or 19, which I guess gets frustrating for them.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, if you look, I mean, I don't know what they're on pace to do, you know, right now. I mean, I think they'd be on pace to maybe improve by 14, 15 games, which is a pretty good improvement, but if you look at the lineup they've been trotting out there every day, you're just kind of blown away that that's the case, because it seems like every game there are four or five guys who are hitting 220 and below, or and two or three they're hitting 200 and below, yet here they are going to make a 14-15 game improvement, and that's because of their pitching. Going back to pitching, the starting pitching as a whole has not been bad. I mean, they're probably middle of the pack in ERA, but they've got some guys pitching deeper into games than they had last year, and that's helped the bullpen a little bit. Bullpen's been up and down, but when the starters have been going deeper, the bullpen's been better. I think, you know, unless they go out and sign a couple of impact bats, I just don't see them coming close to 500 next year, which I think maybe, even though they would never say, I think maybe in the grand scheme of their rebuilding plan was probably maybe where they wanted to shoot for, and then maybe be in contention the year after that. And then win the World Series in 2017, of course, as we all know is going to happen. But, it was an interesting trade for a lot of reasons.
Well, let's talk about the one guy who's supposed to be at the very core of this whole World Series run that they're starting whenever they start. That's George Springer. So he had a setback recently in a rehab game. So that sent alarm bells, I'm sure, through the fan base. And where is that? Where is he? And, you know, what's going on with him?
Well, we don't know much more than what happened on Wednesday night. It was he's rehabbing his quad in Quad Cities. This was his third game in a row. It was the second game, supposed to be the second game in the field. We were told he would play seven innings and play in the outfield. He played five innings in the outfield Tuesday. But he came out of the game on Wednesday in the fifth inning. He had doubled in the first inning. He had walked in the third, I believe. Then the fifth inning, he was pinch hit for. He apparently tweaked the quad a little bit. Looking at the box score, he did DH. He did not play in the outfield. So I don't know if that indicated there was an issue with the quad pregame. We're still trying to hopefully get those answers a little later today. But I do know Springer, they're flying him home to Houston today, and he's going to be at the ballpark on Friday to get it looked at. And they're going to go from there. And, there's no reason to rush him. I know everyone wants him back ASAP. But, you know, if he has another big setback with this thing, he could be looking at into September not playing at all. And he's already missed close to a month. So no reason to rush him. Dexter Fowler is a little bit closer. He's going to start a rehab assignment this weekend. So, they really could use him. And I think Alex Preston is getting closer as well. So, you know, the offense has struggled without all three of those guys. I mean, they've struggled as a whole anyway. But without those, especially Springer and Fowler at the top of that order with Altuve, it's just really an uphill challenge every day to score runs.
What do you make of Chris Carter? I mean, at some point we thought, how is he still on this team? And then he kind of carried the team through July.
I tweeted yesterday. It's been pretty fascinating what's happened since July 1st. And I mean, I'll admit it, I was one of those guys. I was like, I'm kind of done with Chris Carter. It's just, you know, I was tired of seeing the strikeouts. The home runs every now and then were nice. But, you know, if he's going to go, you know, 2 for 15 and strike out 10 times in a series, it's really worth it. But since the start of July, he's put it all together. It's not just home runs. We saw the middle game of the Philly series. He had a couple of singles. One of them he hit the other way. He shortened his stroke, which I think has been a big thing. He's just not taking that big, giant cut anymore. I think his approach is a little bit better. He's a little more patient at the plate, swinging the pitches he should be swinging at. And all of a sudden, he's hitting 220. And, you know, considering where he was, it's at 184 probably at the beginning of July. That's pretty encouraging. And if he could hit 260, 270 and hit 30 home runs, then, you know, you've got a pretty good weapon in that lineup. But I think Carter was probably close to the end of the rope here, I have to say. And, whether he finishes like this or not, we'll see. But for the last 5 weeks, he's been one of the most productive offensive players.
Well, the one thing you can say about the Astros is they are interesting, even when they're not doing well. They are a very interesting group to watch, so we will keep our eye on them, and we will be checking back with you. Appreciate your time, Brian. Thank you very much.